Touring the Talmud, Sanhedrin 104 to 110, Mirror Neurons and the Road to Olam Haba. We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or omit to do, and more in the light of what they suffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Throughout this week's pages, there is a holy attribute that is held as the binding tenor throughout. It is the ability to practice, receive, and create empathy. In order to be whole and develop the fullness of one's soul in connection to God, the Chachamim teach us that we must cultivate our ability to feel the plight of others and give help. Here are some examples from the text. We learn of the great effects of giving food and sustenance to others, even when our other behaviors are less than virtuous. Rabban Gamliel cries together nightly with his mourning neighbor over the death of her son, to the point that his eyelashes fall out. We learn from Rabbi Yohanan that it is appropriate for one to make his suffering public so that others can have opportunity for compassion. We're taught that the deterioration of Jerusalem was in its lack of empathy and that it sank lower than Sodom in its callousness and indifference. We are never to curse others, even the wicked. Love and hatred fundamentally change our habitual behaviors. When we love someone, we care about their welfare, and even our rebuke of them is for their growth. One must always rebuke with the weaker left hand, but bring close with the stronger right hand. We read of the nation of Moab, who did not greet us in the desert with bread and water, but instead left us to starve, and of Sodom, a city built on stinginess and a refusal to give charity. Empathic acts, or the lack thereof, are pivotal in the eyes of the Talmud in determining one's access to the world to come. One can be filled with intellect, sophistication, erudition, and aplomb, and even be proficient in religious ritual. But none of those attributes determine our capacity to be in tune with our hearts, feelings, and emotions. And if we're not in tune with our own, we cannot be in tune with anyone else's. We can excel in matters of the mind while failing in matters of the heart. The Talmud sees the failing of the heart as the most serious. Rahamana li babae, the loving one, God, desires the heart. This point is expressed in the Talmud's discussions of personalities such as Bil'am, Rehob'am, Doeg, and Ahitophel this week. All of these were among the intellectual elite, but also had hearts that were polluted with callousness and malice. Our hearts are developed not by intellectually understanding others, but by our ability to see kinship in others, or to see ourselves in them. The root of kindness is kin, which expresses the familiar or native, which is why the word kind is also used to denote things which are alike, as in two of a kind. When we deem others to be alien, we feel threatened and fear connecting with them, therefore lacking the drive to help or support them. The sign of the heart's maturity is its ability to sense the pain and pleasure that another individual experiences. Empathy drives connection, because to have it, we must connect with something in ourselves, recognize the feelings we are sensing in someone else. Being inquisitive, validating, compassionate, and non-judgmental develops our empathic abilities. Our primary human drive is not for aggression, violence, and self-interest. It is to belong. All humans are born with mirror neurons. These are neural mechanisms in the brain that promote sociability, affection, and companionship by mimicking feelings that we observe in others. We go from being infants who cry when we hear another infant crying to recognizing ourselves in a mirror at around 2 years of age. We further develop observing the anger, frustration, sense of rejection or joy in others, and experience in ourselves to some degree. We are soft-wired to feel each other's plight. Our ability for empathy matures through communication and the gradual discovery of another person's feelings and experiences. But we can also diminish our capacity for empathy. We can dull its power within us and quiet its impulse, although this may not always be voluntary. There are many difficult or abusive conditions that one can experience in early life that inhibit the work of our mirror neurons as a defense from pain. We can also voluntarily numb such feelings with chemicals or psychological and emotional distractions. Yet the fallout from numbing and dulling the mechanisms that drive connection and compassion, even when they bring us pain, leads us to isolation and callousness. At best, we lose our ability to form intimate, close relationships. And at worst, we become abusive and malicious because we grow indifferent to the feelings of others. Empathy grows with the development of the self. The more self-aware I am, the more I have the ability to sense in others what I sense in myself. As we gain a deeper understanding that life is fragile and that we are vulnerable, we know that we live a singular life and that we will die. As we become more aware of our mortality, the question of what life do I wish to build for myself becomes more prominent in our minds. As we grow older, we become more aware that every moment is precious because it is utterly unique. In our empathic awareness, we also know that this is true for everyone else. One loses a place in the world to come through acts of callousness and cynicism, because in doing so, he shows no care for life's preciousness and sanctity. He does not fear death because he does not appreciate the precious value that death puts upon life. It is in the heart's ability to respond to suffering and need that we find our greatest humanity and brilliance. It is in the hardening of the heart and in the inability to feel, care, and respond that we destroy ourselves. Therefore, enmeshed in the weave of the Talmud's discussions on ultimate reward and punishment and the world to come are discussions of kindness, compassion, and empathy, because empathy is deeply connected to mortality. The question, of course, is who is kin to us? And to whom will we practice empathic kindness? It is here in our readings that the Talmud clearly indicates that the world to come is open to all of humanity, Jews and Gentiles. What connects us to the world to come, the realm in which we share our full being with God, is our fully cultivated and mature capacity to feel what others feel and to be aware of the unity of all existence and its connection to God, the one source of being. We are to live in actions that are driven by that awareness. With every passing generation, time and space shrink, and we find ourselves more and more connected. We are able to communicate with each other instantly across the globe, and information passes between us in abundance and at lightning speeds. We do not realize it, but as this happens, our brains change, and our neural networks develop and extend the definition of those with whom we identify as kin. It is not incidental that with the development of the global community, we find greater struggles than ever before for rights and freedoms. We find that our old prejudices, which were powerful when we were more isolated, are now restricting us from expanding into our global connections. Our minds are connecting more than ever before. Will our hearts do the same? Shabbat Shalom.